That's right, believers. Season 3 rolls on with the Lucha Underground After Show right here on AfterBuzz TV. We got the Cueto Cup qualifying matches. We have one of my all-time favorite matches in the temple. So stick around. Let's talk about it.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Just, you know, you just got to let it simmer. That's all.
Yeah, we got to talk so we don't get pinged
like,
for a damn copyright strike.
Oh, that's probably a good point.
Would be a scene in the
that's
professional.
Fair. I can see that. I can see that for sure. You know, we had to honor friend of the show, one of my favorites, at Snoring Elbow, Vinny Massaro, because I was there when they taped this match, and I swear I've been waiting for it to air ever since.
Really?
Vinny versus Cage is... I just tweeted it not too long ago. It's one of my top five matches in all of Lucha Underground.
Oh.
Here we go. Here's the drop. There we go. Get some Mike Patton in your life. Guys, this is the Lucha Underground After Show right here on AfterBuzz TV. My name is Ty Matthews. Y'all can find me on all forms of social media. Whew! At Ty Matthews PMA, joined as always, the always lovely, always talented, you can find him at Jimbo in the booth, even though he's Jimbo in the studio right now. Guys, James Frank.
Hi, I'm here. We're missing our little Poonam bear.
We're missing the lovely Poonam of one Rachel Sam Evans, or Sam Evans has been on every burger. She is at
Snarled.
She's at VidCon. You can find her online at www.youtube.com/snarled. WW is very important. She's over being a fancy content creator over at VidCon. So if you're at VidCon, go greet her with a Hail Satan. She'll be thrilled.
I don't know if these audiences collide.
Sure. You know.
Go greet her.
Sure.
With the Hail Satan.
Go greet her with the Hail Satan. She'll be
you haven't been
amazing.
To VidCon, Ty. You don't. It's all 10-year-olds.
Is it?
Pretty much.
Oh man,
oh, that's awesome.
That makes me sad.
I really hope a 10-year-old walks up to her and says Hail
and
Satan.
drops a Hail Satan on her. God, that would make her life.
Yeah,
no, Satan, that would make her life.
That's true. That's true. Oh man, get some Fantomas in your life. This album, it's called The Director's Cut. It's all reinterpretations of famous movie scores. It's amazing.
The Star Wars on there?
I don't know. It's more stuff like The Godfather, Twin Peaks, Firewalk with Me is on there.
That's a movie.
You know, it is. Ecstasy of Gold, maybe. Stuff like that. You know, maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. But let's talk about this episode, Family First. Top to bottom, I've got to say it's one of my favorite episodes there's been in the show thus far. Like, just altogether. Everything that happened.
Makes sense.
Did something for me.
Yeah.
We start out with Phoenix. Oh, Mark Badonica,
welcome back.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Don't you ever call me that again.
Mark Badonica. It's Mark B apostrophe Donica.
LaDasha.
Right.
Hi, Ty. I'm on Twitter at Mark Badonica, and I'm going to be making weird noises, kind of like this one.
Oh,
Nancy.
Oh, it's a classic.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm just here with Nancy.
Just chilling with Nancy. I'm going to remember her full name, her full Christian name, one of these days. I mean, I know. Guys.
Keep it down.
I know.
Calm down.
Right. Put some respect on my name. Oh, man. This episode, though. Holy crap. Boy, oh, boy.
We get Phoenix pulling up in a T-Bird.
Phoenix pulling up in a T-Bird. We've seen it. It's so... on point, but like seeing character specific cars just makes me miss King Cuerno that much more.
Aww.
Like, remember his?
Didn't he have like a gnarly truck?
Yes, that's what it was. Yeah. I remember. I remembered it was something on point. It was something on brand.
Like giant antlers.
It was
or
a
something?
Dope. It was a dope pickup truck. He had his Western.
His
he was wearing his Christian Rosenberg best. He was wearing a cowboy hat and a lucha mask.
His Rosen best.
He was wearing his very Rosen best. Rosenberg, I think, is in like the adjoining studio right this second.
Yeah, he's next door doing the NBA.
No, game. I think
he's talking about
that
sports ball.
Looks like him, and his name's Josh Tariff.
Oh, that's right. That's right. It's very easy to get the two confused.
There's Bizarro Greg Goodness here.
One of them really likes sports ball. The other one doesn't, I guess. I know. So Phoenix and Melissa Santos, you know,
they had a little thing going. But they got a little thing going.
They got a little thing going.
She's smitten.
She's, you know, he's not from the 559, but
Phoenix go.
Oh no!
I don't know about that.
That was an eagle.
Oofa doofa. What?
That That was an eagle.
Was that not a dolphin?
No, that was...
Summoning my eagle powers.
I got to make up for last week.
Incredible. And yes, you do. Yeah. Yes, you do. We got some ham to go. Phoenix and, and Melissa... It's so I love the interaction between them. He says he's going to win the Queto Cup for her, you know.
My money's on you.
You know, just all putting all that money on Phoenix. I don't know if that's a wise bet.
If that was Willie Mack, he would have been like, always bet on black.
Always bet on. Didn't he say always bet on that. Mack?
Yeah, that's what he did.
That's what it was. Either way works.
That was great.
Now. Opening up this show, we were talking about it a little before we went live. I was there when they taped this match, and I swear I've been waiting ever since for them to air it. Like,
well, you forgot that they pan over after she's like, I'm betting on you. My money's on you.
Mm-hmm.
Phoenix like, smiles. She smiles. They pan over, and you see Marty just creepily
watching
them.
Oh, that's right. And then he puts his head through a window. Just,
yeah.
How could I forget?
Oh, snap!
Oh, snap is right. You know? I was so distracted by the puppy love going on, I forgot that a man put his human head through a window.
Did he not learn from Matanza's mistakes?
Oh, boy. Oh, boy, oh, boy.
What are you talking about? That hasn't happened yet.
Boy, oh, boy.
Yeah,
that's,
it did.
Boy, oh, boy, that's non-canon. Boy, oh, boy.
That happened already.
That happened, but not the version that people didn't see.
Oh.
There was a version of that went very wrong.
He talked about that on the Xbox.
That show. Luckily is... He's okay now. Man, if that had happened to Marty, Jesus Christ.
Oh, snap!
He just, like, right. Playfully hits his head on
there. Was, guys, if you don't know, at one point, was it last season or this season?
It was this season.
Matanza punches through a window, but there was a version of that didn't quite go as expected. There's a lot of blood. It was very, very scary. It was, Oh boy. I don't know if you guys remember when Goldberg punched through a limo window. That's what happened on a much bigger scale. It was rough. But I digress.
Moving on.
Because this episode starts with, and I legitimately, I'm saying this, I want you to listen to me. I'm saying this without a hint of irony. This match is one of my top five matches in all of Lucha Underground.
Just because you've been waiting for Vinny so long.
I've been waiting for so long because you watch a match like this, and when I was there, and you see Vinny across the ring from Cage, and you're expecting, and I hate to make comparisons, but if you were to see, let's say, Brock Lesnar face off with Curtis Axel. Let's think about how that match might go.
I was thinking like the Brooklyn Brawler's already in the ring.
You can see that. I can. Yeah.
Out comes the Warlord.
Right. Exactly. Something akin to that. Sure. But like, Vinny not only got offense in this match, but he got really, really crisp, solid, dope looking offense.
I love how he just started fucking with the slap.
He just slaps
him in the face.
Exactly.
To get things going.
Exactly. And I love that it's so like pitch perfect for that character. Yeah. Like, of course he's going to go up to the biggest guy in the temple and just slap him in his mouth.
No big deal.
Because he's from Sicily or whatever.
And then he was nailing him with forearms in the corner, and Cage like took one, took another, and then he just was
he took a bunch, yeah.
And started to walk out to the center of the ring, just like kept taking forearms.
Right.
Oh, okay, this is the kind of match we're going to have today.
Exactly. But it's, I think where the offense started and what I really, really enjoyed is at one point, Cage looks like he's going to kind of bring him into the ring the hard way using the rope as a catapult, right? It looks like he's about to. Didn't say the magic word. Willie Mack knows how to say that line in Spanish because he's seen Jurassic Park in Spanish so many times, and it's my favorite thing.
I love it.
I don't remember what it is.
Hit him up for that.
Please ask him what his favorite line from Jurassic Park in Spanish is. It's a very specific question. He'll know the answer.
Hold on to your butts.
Hold on to your culos. So Cage goes to bring him in the hard way. Vinny, and it's so smart, and I reacted to this the same way I reacted the first time I saw Finley trap someone in the ring apron, you know?
Oh, like, why don't you just do that?
Why wouldn't you just do that? So Vinny just lets go of the rope. Cage is about to catapult him in the ring. He just lets go and then pokes him in his eye.
Great.
I mean, sure, he gets uranagi'd on the apron for his efforts. I don't know if you've heard, it's the hardest part of the ring.
Yeah.
But, man...
Not good.
And it's not the worst bump he'll take by the time he leaves our screens.
I love Vampiro's like, we've heard of the Leaning Tower, now we have a falling Vinny.
I know. At one point, Vampiro called him a big gnocchi, which just made me long for a wrestling character named Antonio Gnocchi.
Ty, you've got to make that happen.
Like in wrestling circus or whatever.
Exactly.
Freak show wrestling.
Antonio Aoki. Yeah,
write that shit on your notes right now.
Antonio Gnocchi.
Oh, man.
Phenomenal.
I loved how he channeled his inner Brian Cage and got his shit in.
He did.
And
he sure did.
The only thing that I wish would have happened, because he's laying on the mat, and I was feeling like, okay, he's going to like Hulk up right now, and he's going to get his revenge on Cage.
Right.
I was hoping he'd reach into his tights and pull out
a slice of pizza.
And eat it, and that would be his fucking
spinach.
But as we see later on in the episode, they reserve people pulling things out of their
area. We'll get to crotch objects.
Else.
We'll get to crotch items.
But yeah, he channels his inner Brian Cage and he gets his shit in.
He gets a dope hammerlock headbutt.
Yes.
Looked like he was going for a Pepsi twist.
Yeah,
turned it into a headbutt.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Hits that big snoring elbow. Then a ripcord STO.
So
like
good.
A lot of really
lot of
solid
cool stuff.
Of course, it wasn't enough. He goes to use the gauntlet, the god-infused gauntlet.
What a fool.
What a fool.
It's like King Arthur's sword. Only one person can touch Excalibur and pull that shit out of this stuff. It's like, Or when you go to Disneyland and they have the prop one.
Exactly.
Comes out. It's bullshit.
If that gauntlet can explode the head of Lorenzo Lamas...
Renegade.
Don't mess with
R.I.P.
it. Don't mess with it.
R.I.P.
Renegade.
Both Renegades.
Gone too soon. Oh, man. R.I.P. all Renegades. Oh, boy.
Styx is still going strong.
Brian Cage eventually... Brian Cage eventually hits the Steiner screwdriver. He ain't getting up from this one.
His claw driller.
Claw driller. I knew it was something driller. I couldn't remember for the life of me. I was like, K-driller? No, K-driller is something different.
Drill claw is a famous move from Wolverine.
Exactly.
Wolverine.
And I don't know if you guys know, Brian Cage.
Wolverine.
Very big Wolverine fan.
Yeah.
Thank you. So afterwards, after the match, he hits him with a screwdriver, pins him to advance in the Queto Cup tournament, but he's not done, busts him open with that gauntlet, and then choke slams the poor guy from the apron to the floor.
Not cool.
Not cool.
It wasn't him. He just came over him. He didn't know.
Just came over him. Gods love choke slamming people off of aprons, I guess. Who knew?
What are you gonna do?
Who knew?
I hope that's not the last we see of Vinny.
I hope not. God, I hope not.
We get some great backstage vignettes of him
in
the locker
room,
like, icing his wounds and, like, pulls the ice off and takes out the pizza and, like, eats the pizza. Like, I want him to be, like, Captain Lou in the Rockin' Wrestling cartoon where he's just always...
There you go.
Find some way to eat something.
That's gold. TM. That's gold. Very gold. But, yes, I hope the same thing. After this match, I want to see so much more of Vinny Massaro. Give me more snoring elbows. Please. Thank you. Next up, we get another one of these HBO like
vignettes,
like video packages for the upcoming title match between Rey Mysterio and Johnny Mundo.
Mundo practicing with sticks.
This announcer, man, I cannot get over this announcer. I love this guy.
He reminds me of Robin Leach.
Right. Well, he's okay. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. I believe. Let me get comfortable here. I believe he's the guy. He guest commentated Ultima Lucha Uno.
Mark, do you know?
No.
I believe he might have either Uno or Dos. One of the two.
It wasn't Dos.
Could have been Uno.
Super Smash Brothers.
Could have been Player Uno. Evil Uno. Evil Uno is one of my favorites. I love that guy. But I do love these video packages because if we can get one a week and just get this eternal build, I really like that. I really like the making of this big fight kind of feel.
I enjoy it.
Definitely
feeling it.
Definitely. I do want, though, a very real Lifestyles of Rich and Famous on the whole Worldwide Underground.
I think we'll get that if Mundo beats Rey.
There you go.
It'll be like the follow-up package. Like, this is what he's doing with all his winnings.
And right.
This is what... Look how happy little Ricky is.
Exactly.
Like, gee, mister, these are your glasses.
I'm imagining Ricky Mantel is sleeping in a pull-out bed like in basketball.
Wake up, bitch, you're my new best friend.
What? Are we going to the zoo?
You guys rip on me.
13 or 14 more times.
I'm out of here.
Well, that's terrific.
Thank you, Kermit. I appreciate your words of wisdom.
And
next
then
up,
we get...
another candidate for one of my favorite matches in the temple.
Really?
I legitimately... That's what I'm saying, man. This episode did it for me in, like, 7 different ways.
You think it's because you were there?
I don't think so. No. I don't think so. I think it was just, like, because all of the vignettes also did a lot for me as well.
Every vignette was really good.
Yeah. But we've got Marty the Moth Martinez versus Saltador.
AKA Checkers.
And, like... I think when he's with the Rabbit Tribe, obviously it's good stuff, but I think Saltador might get overshadowed a little bit by Malasuerte, by Paul London, but they weren't even at ringside with him, which I think allowed him to shine.
Yeah.
We got so much... Oh, I love the Let's Get Weird chants from the crowd, just the dancing that Saltador does. The one spot that really, really, really... like did the deal for me in this match is when he's going for the super kick and he starts pretending like it's glued to the ground, like he can't kick, and Marty just laughs in his face, and then he hits him with such a beautiful super kick
right under the chin.
It was such a ridiculous, dumb, silly spot, and it was my favorite thing I've ever seen.
Really?
It was so silly and dumb. So stupid.
Now
I love
you're
it.
Out of control.
It's way, 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 way out of control.
I thought it was the battle of creepy versus weird.
Exactly. Well, and even just from that first shot of both of them on their knees, just kind of like feeling each other out, you know?
Like if like a dog looks in the mirror.
That's
right.
Sure. Right. Exactly.
Is that me?
Because it's that kind of sinister, that malicious sort of weirdness from Marty, that creepiness, versus just that kind of off the wall sort of goofballness of Saltador and of the Rabbit Tribe.
I love the Rana to the outside, catch him, just powerbomb him into the guard.
Oh God, that's I'm so glad you brought that up.
So loud.
Because on other wrestling shows, I feel like matches like this, that sure it's part of a tournament, but other than that, it doesn't have that many stakes, you know? So matches like that might not be allowed big spots. But in a match like this, in the middle of the episode between Marty the Moth and Saltador,
yes,
who I don't believe has ever gotten a one-on-one match in the temple. I may be wrong. But they were able...
Why.
Huh?
You
what?
I don't know why.
Why is that?
It's because he has a checkered past.
Oh, you. Oh. Oh. Okay. All right. Oh. All right. I got to give you that one. Walked right into it. I know. Catching a Tope Rana into a barricade powerbomb was such an amazing visual.
It just proves how strong Marty is, too.
Marty is... People don't realize how big...
Strong.
He is a large man.
He's a hoss.
He's a hoss boy.
He's a hoss moth.
He's a big old hoss moth boy. Man. Boy, oh boy.
I don't understand why his Saltador's entire gear is checkered except for his crotch is striped. I don't get it.
It's a great question. I wish I knew.
The world will never know.
We're going to come up.
Let's get him on the line.
Let's ring up Saltador. We're going to come up
really
with some weird-ass headcanon by the end of the season.
I really
like
that corner T-bone that Marty hit him with.
Yes. Yes, really absolutely. That was really good.
And then Marty's finisher, which was the crazy double underhook butterfly, picks him up. Kind of like powerbomb flatliner.
Right.
Dominator-esque.
So starts out with a double underhook. Into the Canadian backbreaker. Into the Canadian backbreaker. Flipped over into a gutbuster.
Well, it was like knees to the face.
It's like a codebreaker.
Yeah.
I think that's how it ended up.
It not supposed to be
that
high?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
See, if he takes the knees to the face, I thought he should call it like the moth kiss or something
like
that. But I don't know if it's supposed to be knees to
kiss
the face.
Kiss from a moth? You know, they're like the Seal hit. It's my mouth on the grave. Amazing.
It's
such
pretty
a good
creepy.
Song. Let's get Seal in the studio, guys.
We want to start a new after show where we just make jingles. And we have Josh Rodriguez sitting here with his keyboard.
There you go. Yeah. Does Josh play the keyboard?
He does.
I didn't know that.
He's a music man.
He's one of those music boys.
Yeah, he's a music boy.
Oh.
We need more cowbell.
We need way more. That's a deal. Oh, that's a man, a classic if there ever was one. What else? So he hits him with that creative finisher ass move.
Creepy Marty.
Wins it. His interactions with Melissa during the match also. Like,
oh, yeah.
I love that keeps kind of getting furthered.
She was looking good too in that white dress.
Of course. Absolutely.
Always lovely. We get this great video with the Rabbit Tribe.
Oh, man. The Rabbit Tribe. The remaining two members of the Rabbit Tribe, Paul Lennon and Amal Suarte, they're backstage. Masquerita Sagrada doing curls, of course, because if you're anywhere in the temple, the rules stipulate if you're not taking a piss, you're doing curls. One of the two. You know, or eating pizza if you're Vinny Pizarro, which is fine. They track down Masquerita doing his curls, getting them buys in. You know, yeah. It's by day, every day. And they seem to have claimed him as their rabbit god.
Of course.
He wants nothing to do with it.
No. Nothing at all.
Nope.
Feels like I'm wearing nothing at all.
Nothing at all. Stupid, sexy Masquerita. But it's interesting. I wanted to see more Paul London on this episode. I think that was the only thing that would have pushed this episode good to great.
Over the edge?
More Paul London. More Paul London. That's all I want. But, yeah, I would like to see where this is going. Because we saw more of Masquerita later, and it was amazing. But now that they're saying now that Saltador is out of the tournament, I believe Mala Suerte is also out of the tournament,
yes.
Right? Because Willie Mack beat him.
Yeah.
So now it's up to Paul. It's up to Weird Paul.
Yeah.
Weird Paul London.
Definitely.
We'll see. I can't remember the brackets. Guys, if you have the brackets in front of you, go look and see if he's facing someone he could feasibly beat, I guess.
I hope we get a vignette of, like, Paul London hallucinating.
That'd be great. I could see that. That would be on brand for Lucha Underground.
Going down the rabbit hole.
Right.
With Masquerita.
I could totally see that. That'd be awesome. Absolutely.
And on his way down, he passes, like, all the pentagons.
I do like the idea that they all still exist. Like, they were willed into existence, but, like, they're kind of like Mr. Meeseeks. Like, they can't die until they've fulfilled their purpose.
I don't know what that is from.
Mr. Meeseeks is from Rick and Morty. It's
a few references you don't get.
I'm sorry.
I know. That might be a first. That might be a first for this show. I can't believe Rachel wasn't here for that. She'd probably get it.
Paul London is up against Vibora.
Oh, okay.
Oh, shit. Luchasaurus.
So, dude, depending on how they run with the Snake Tribe.
Interesting. Who would the winner of that match face?
Probably Mil Muertes, because Mil Muertes is up against Veneno.
Oh, jeez. Oh, Veneno. I forgot about Veneno.
Not looking too good for Veneno.
Veneno is not Ricky Reyes.
Oh.
Shut up. It's not him.
Right.
Oh, Jimbo, it was the guy that was like, they just put Spider-Man symbol on that guy's face.
Yes,
that guy. That guy. Yeah. Okay. So I think, I could see Paul London beating Vibora and then going on to face Mil Muertes. I could see that.
He's a snake.
He's a slipper snake.
Bunch of snakes.
What do you think? Do you think it's going to be Paul and Mil Muertes, or do you think it's going to be Vibora?
I think it's going to be Vibora.
You think so?
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
But maybe Paul loses or wins because of Masquerita.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. That
like,
could
Masquerita
be.
Masquerita is like pissed at him for another backstage vignette and causes him to lose. Or is
interesting.
Like, okay.
Or maybe the Serpent Tribe brings him out because of his match tonight. And the connection between the Rabbit Tribe. Maybe it's like, hey, we have your god here, and that causes either Paul London to win or lose.
Oh, there you go.
He's gonna
now you're cooking with gas.
Picture he's holding him.
On top of the stairs?
Yeah. Either on top of the stairs or on top of Darian's office. He's just holding him over the edge.
Oh, God.
Like it's a Last Action Hero.
Last Action Hero.
Instead of throwing in the towel, he throws in the Masquerita.
Amazing. So backstage, we've got more Marty the Moth. Who has built a little shrine.
It reminded me of the movie Crush with Alicia.
With Alicia Silverstone and Cary Elwes?
Yes.
That's a good one. He's made a little shrine to Melissa Santos.
Just a little one.
And including one of the pictures that's just stuffed in his crotch.
Yes.
Which is like, I don't know why. I don't know. It was off to me, but in a hilarious way.
Yeah. Like, it's him.
Right, right.
It was like, oh, that makes sense because it's you.
It seemed weird. It seemed
freaking
weird.
Creepy.
So he's upset. He's upset that Melissa was in the front row. She didn't say anything, but he gets it. She doesn't want people gossiping about their relationship, yeah. You know? And then, out of nowhere, whew,
yeah,
Mariposa.
In the he opens the music box, and it plays creepy music. Mm-hmm. He opens a makeup
compact,
yeah. Uh-huh. So I'm thinking, like, oh, is that her music box? Is
well,
that
he the his, comp is the compact. I think mother's the compact. I think had a lock of Melissa's hair in it. I think
he smells it.
Smells it,
and then
like
looking
you do.
In the mirror, he sees Mariposa. Like, oh yeah, great.
And then
great camera.
And
work.
Then this segment goes to some icky places.
Some deep dark web craziness.
She chides Marty the Moth for not remembering what their father taught them, mm-hmm. which is family first, which are two words that could normally be innocent when it's not, mm-hmm. you know. There you go. Ty Ross and Lionel Richie. It's Marty and Mariposa's endless love.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Friends listen to Endless Love in the Dark.
It's a tale as old as time. I forgot about that. But so the idea here is family first.
Yeah.
And it seems like
I will hurt you.
It seems like Mariposa is getting maybe a little bit jealous of Marty's obsession with Melissa.
Yeah.
Maybe.
He's not
maybe.
Focused.
Maybe. I'm not gonna put words in her mouth. But I don't know
either.
That's for our ASMR fans.
He gives her a little good luck kiss,
mm-hmm.
and she slaps him twice.
Which is really the equivalent of a kiss, yeah. when you're face-to-face with Marty the Moth.
Of course.
And
then some really weird music cues.
And he says, you know, it's okay. I'll just make – he's talking to Melissa, quote-unquote, to her pictures. He says, that's okay. I'll have to make you part of the family.
And he licks the picture, which I was like, okay, way to be creepy. That was in your junk area, but fine. It's your junk area.
Yep.
This all factors in.
Yep.
And then he sticks it to the wall. So I was like, okay, logic. It makes sense. You didn't have adhesive.
Why did I think
it to the wall?
Why did I think he put it back in his crotch?
No.
Didn't he put something back into his underwear?
He put a new one.
Oh, is it a new one?
Yes.
Everyone's got to get their turn. Man, this is weird. Oh, boy.
Just imagine that in the writer's room. Do you think someone came up with that? Or he's like, hey, I got this great idea.
Those pictures.
You want to just take this to the next level?
Each one of those pictures has to touch his junk at some point, or else it doesn't work.
Yes.
It's
and then Melissa. Pictures.
Exactly.
Picture like the day that you walk past Dario without...
Oh, sure. Right.
He's like, what is this? What is going on?
What's going on?
Melissa walking into that room not knowing anything about the scene.
Oh, so
hey,
good.
We need you on set early. What
we need
the hell
you,
did I just
How many
you?
Pictures can we find of you in magazines? What else? Now, yet another one of my favorite matches that I've seen. This, I'm telling you, this episode was like 4 for 4 with... Some of my favorite matches in
this
the temple.
This match was awesome because, like you always say, Steve Payne,
right.
a.k.a.
Masquerita Sagrada versus Pindar. And Pindar, the way he's built, is such a perfect foil or a base or an opponent, whatever you want, for someone like Masquerita Sagrada. And we saw some moves that legitimately looked like they shouldn't have been possible.
See these moves?
You see these moves?
You see these moves? I love how he hailed from when reptiles ruled the world.
I was thinking about that. I'm like, that's not a place. That's a time. Like, you can't be from a time.
Time is a flat circle.
Time is a flat circle. That's what I've heard, if Matthew McConaughey is to be believed.
Ty is a flat circle.
That's my secret.
I love when Masquerita walked out, too, and he passed Cobra Moon. She hissed at him.
Of course. Of course she did.
Little things like that.
There's little things that the temple believers do that are some of my favorite things. They're doing the... God, what is it? What's the team from Dodgeball? Yeah. I can't remember what they're called. They're snake-themed, obviously.
Snake.
Between that...
The Cobras?
The Terminator. There's something Cobras. I don't know.
Do Cobras.
The Terminator beat.
Claps.
For some reason, I really don't like the Return of the Mac chant, only because it reminds me of Fraggle Rock. Like,
I think it should be.
It's the clap. It's the clap that does it. Because it's Return of the Mac, down at Fraggle Rock.
Also, really quick, the dodgeball team was the Purple Cobras.
Okay, good.
I don't think it should be the cheer for him at the beginning of the match, but like his
when he comes back,
yeah,
absolutely.
The Return of the Mac.
I get it. Sure, it's I don't know what my thing is against Fraggle Rock. I don't know. I was a Eureka's Castle guy myself.
Me too.
Right. Yeah. Right. There you go. Tweet us your favorite Nickelodeon shows.
What was Binya Binya Polywog on? I can't remember right now.
Gullah Island?
Gullah Island.
You got it.
I was just going to I can hear the theme song in my head right now. Nick Jr.? Face?
I was just about to say we got to have, like, Face co-host an episode.
Face would just be like, hold your breath, guys.
If we had Face on this monitor, I'd be so pumped.
I'm going to hit you.
He's like the extra part of the fucking show.
He's our new host, guys.
Nancy and Face.
What else would... Nancy and Face. Tale as old as time.
I ship it.
Hagar was just hucking
Sagrada. Oh, God. Like he was tossing him.
Chucker.
Oh.
He is a fellow chucker.
We haven't dusted that one off in a minute, guys.
I did that 2 weeks ago.
Okay, maybe 2 weeks ago.
We got a great top rope Rana and the pop-up cutter from his knees.
Oh, God.
Which makes me wonder, like, what if he did that from his feet? How high he would have
gotten. Oh, man. Boy, oh, boy. That reminds me of a story. I'm going to go off on a little bit of a tangent.
Tell me about it.
The pop-up cutter reminds me of a story. So, I started wrestling when I was 13 years old. And at that time, a movie was made called Backyard Dogs. And guys,
Backyard Dogs.
That's 100% the song. You know it, guys. If you haven't seen Backyard Dogs, please go find it on Netflix. It is a movie starring Walter Emmanuel Jones of Power Rangers fame, also Hayabusa, and it's about backyard. It's about backyard wrestling. It's really, 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 really bad. But the guy that made that movie also made a training video called Slam School at the time.
That sounds kind of interesting.
I know. Just hold on.
Is that the one they shot at UPW?
No, it was at the EWF school.
Oh, okay.
And I was in that video very briefly. But it's very, very bad. It's a very bad video. But at one point, my trainer, this guy Bobby Bradley, he used to be RVD's partner, he's just running a spot with someone, and it's supposed to be basics, right? Just like, you know, snapmares, arm locks, whatever. He whips the guy in and gives him a pop-up cutter for no reason.
Well, that's terrific.
I know. It legitimately popped me as if I was watching, like, a WrestleMania match when I was watching
it. Were you, like, standing on the ring apron, like, all right, I'm next for this drill? And you just saw him take a pop-up cutter? And you're like, what the fuck kind of
deal? Do you feel cheated or robbed?
I do, actually. Yeah, it was pretty awesome. Guys, go find a VHS tape called Slam School from the year 2000. You know, it's fine. I'm sure you can find it at your local Best Buy.
Also, during this match, I realized how shitty it is to wear white gear.
Right. Oh my god. Point, that gear got filthy, didn't it?
His gear got filthy and he had a footprint on his ass.
Poor guy.
Like a perfect footprint on his
poor
ass.
Poor guy. So there's a pop-up cutter, which is amazing. There was a what I can only imagine a Dragon Rana Suicida, I'm gonna call.
Holy shit.
Boy, oh boy. That was wild. Masquerita Sagrada hits a Tope Suicida through the middle rope, turns with a front flip, and then turns it into a Dragon Rana on Pindar.
That has to be one of the best moves I've ever seen.
Incredible.
The timing on that.
But at the end of this match, Pindar hits Masquerita with such an insane finisher. Once again, I wish your action figures were here.
You know who I saw do that?
Who?
Marcus Riott.
I could see that.
Way back in the day.
I could see that.
One of the first people I saw. To Nick Jackson, of all
people. I'm not even going to try to describe that move.
It's basically like when you would be kids and your parents would be like, okay, tuck your arms under your legs. And they'd hold your hands and then they flip you and you flip out and land back on your feet. Except he flips you out and just doesn't land you on your feet. Lands you on your face.
Into a face buster, right, exactly. I think Vampiro made a very apt comparison where he likened it to, like, laying out a towel at the beach. Like, that was the exact movement. That was the exact motion that he was doing. So, Pindar advances in the Queto Cup tournament. I know, the kids are going crazy for Pindar, guys. I don't know if you know, kids love Pindar. What?
I don't even know what that was.
That was dope.
Here, I'll do this one.
Oh, I don't like that at all. No. hate
Sagrada it. Sagrada at one point running around the ring and just slaps Cobra Moon.
Oh, God. I forgot about that moment. I'm so happy you brought that up. So Masquerina, so Cobra Moon has been messing with Masquerina.
I think it was after he hit that Rana.
I think it was after that, yeah. Because Cobra Moon had been messing with him up to that point in the match, kicked him in his head, and he gives Pindar the Dragon Rana and then is walking by Cobra Moon and just reach up and just slaps her in her face. Which I don't know why that might have been the funniest thing I've ever seen on the show.
So hard.
Like
Vam said he slapped the bitch out of her.
Which is, I mean, it was a problematic call in its own right, but I think I would like to think that everyone in the temple is obviously presented on level playing fields, especially because she had kicked him in the head earlier in the match. So him, the visual of him reaching up and slapping her in her face was kind of hysterical.
Reach up and slap face.
Oh, such a good tune. One of the classics.
Great stuff.
Boy. We've got one more qualifying match. The main event for tonight, Phoenix taking on Mariposa. Man. I love the story, how this match started with Phoenix kind of trying to, almost sort of placating her, almost kind of patronizing her a little bit, trying to offer that handshake. She won't take it. Goes like he's gonna super kick her, decides not to, and then blasts her with one of the most gorgeous drop kicks I've ever seen in my life.
It was very Mr. Perfect.
It was.
Poor Holly-esque.
Right. I saw an old picture the other day from a Raw from like 94, 95, and it was a sign that just said, Bob Holly is hot. And for some reason, that's a hysterical sentence to me.
There was this whole thing with Stu Stone on Twitter, because someone was saying when he used to do the Falcon Arrow, it was called the Holocaust.
Right, it was very briefly.
Yeah.
Very, very briefly.
And Stu Stone's like, no way.
Yeah.
And we're like, no, man. Like, that was what his finisher
was
called.
Yeah.
I
remember that vividly and not realizing why that was so problematic when that happened. Yes.
Crazy.
That was brief for a reason.
Doesn't the thing with Phoenix sort of go back? I don't remember who he was facing, but he didn't want to hit a woman. He didn't want to wrestle a woman and fight a woman.
Was it
Cobra Moon?
No, it might have been Ivelisse. Was it Ivelisse?
It might have been Ivelisse. It was somebody, but it was still just like, I'm not going to hit you. And then how quickly it turned in this match, where it was like, oh no, you're a terrible person. I'm going to drop kick the hell out of you.
Right. Exactly. And God, that drop kick, just a thing of beauty.
It made me like Willy Wonka when he's like, oh no, please don't stop. He's like, oh, I'm not going to kick you. Got it. Bam! Like, ha-ha.
And then his mugging to the crowd and to the camera, just doing the shrug emoji.
Did I do that?
Oh, man. What else?
I love her stepped up Rana off the ring apron.
Yes.
And they were doing crazy Lucha shit outside.
Right.
That was awesome.
Lots of good Rana variations in this episode.
Yeah,
right?
A lot of them.
Right.
His released German suplex to her was crazy,
which
I she was gonna die,
and I liked that it was I think it was an unintentional callback. He hits her with a released German, just the same way that I believe Marty the Moth hits Saltador with a released German suplex in their match.
And then she hit a crazy Yoshi tonic.
Like, yeah, she did.
Very late sunset flip.
Right.
Like, wait. Oh, okay. Glad that went okay.
Right.
And I love when he does his, like, Hoyuken in the corner. Mm-hmm. You could hear someone in the crowd was just like, Hoyuken!
Of course. That dragon uppercut. Absolutely.
Phoenix Driver for the win.
Phoenix Driver, a.k.a. Chocolate Thunder Driver. Rikishi Driver. What's that?
I don't think he has him as high. Or he has him higher.
Well,
than
when Mac does it, he starts out in that kind of the follow away slam position, then throws him up into the driver.
Yeah, Phoenix holds their head like a little cradle baby.
Oh, he does kind of. Yeah. Does it's a little bit different, isn't it?
Just variations.
But Jimbo, how does he hold it?
Just like a little cradle baby.
I hate you so much. I knew that was coming. I guess yeah. Not all Rikishi driver variants are the same.
No.
Hashtag not greetings all Rikishi from, drivers.
Greetings from Asbury Park.
It is greetings from Asbury Park, isn't it? Man. Man oh man.
Man oh man.
Boy oh boy. What an episode this was. And then my last note is just Antonio Inoki.
My last note was that roundhouse kick after the end of the match.
Oh, that kind of like...
Which like one? Phoenix just...
That's right, the one that he hit on Marty, right?
Yeah.
I forgot about Marty coming out afterwards. Yes,
Oh my god!
Marty the Moth comes out to attack Phoenix to proclaim his endless love for Melissa Santos. I can only imagine
to stuff and another picture in his garage.
Of course,
possibly take a picture.
I'm sure there were many there already. But that kick, that was so gorgeous.
It was very movie-esque,
right?
Just the grace in the turn and the sound. Everything was perfect about it.
Sure. We've talked a lot about the sound effects of the temple and how much they add to the show.
It's like the end of the first Blade where he throws the last cartridge in the air and he spin kicks it.
There you go.
Just takes the dude out.
I can fuck with that. Absolutely.
Exactly what it looked like.
Absolutely.
What are our brackets look like? Mark
Badonica, would those happen to be are those updated brackets or are those like the base?
This is the initial bracket that has the first round on it.
Got
so
it.
Let me put it up on the screen.
Let's throw that up for our YouTube viewers, guys. If you're listening to us on iTunes, first of all, we appreciate you all the same. But there's a whole visual component to the show that you are missing. So go check us out on YouTube. Also, do both. Reckless.
I'm gonna bring it up right now, just because. We just finished the entire Group B, so it looks like next week we're going to be moving into Group C,
okay.
Which is Vibora versus Paul London, Veneno versus Mil Muertes, Jeremiah Crane versus Killshot, which
Ooh.
Is probably going to be pretty sick.
That's going to be real
and
good.
Speaking of amazing, the final in Group C is Joey Ryan versus Taya.
Ooh, that'll be awesome. Absolutely. Oh, man.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
That'll be real good. Thank you for that, Mark Donega.
Who do you think the mystery person is?
Oh, I forgot about that. I forgot about the mystery.
Yeah, it's Son of Havoc is at the end of Group D. It's Son of Havoc versus question marks.
Are we going to see Brother of Havoc?
I was just going to say, remember when they said he had a brother or something? We know that that's coming eventually.
We do know. We do. I think we saw a little brief glimpse of it in the Season 3 trailer.
Yes.
That's what it was. I think we may end up seeing Brother of Havoc.
And I hope it devolves into a tag team match.
You know it's the Mac Militant.
Oh, Teddy.
I was gonna say,
I hope it ends up in a Bagel Bites on a Pole match.
I was just gonna say, I hope it has Mama Havoc coming down the steps with a thing of Bagel Bites for everyone.
It's Mama Havoc like Judy Bagwell.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, Judy Bagwell, leave the memories alone.
Or Mama Belt, her yeah, Mama Benjamin.
Oh God! Oh no! 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 Oh, I forgot about that angle.
Who else had their mom?
Who else did have their mom?
Well, there were the dancing mamas at WrestleMania with Brodus
Clay. Oh,
Brodus
Clay.
Oh, rough.
Well, somebody finally called them, and they all showed up at WrestleMania to dance.
That is true. They did call their mom. So that's our show. That's our episode.
That was the lucha.
What a great episode that was. One more shout-out to Vinny Mazzaro for having this awesome match and just generally being one of my favorite wrestlers in the temple. Go give him a follow at Snoring Elbow.
I want to see more pizza gags.
More pizza gags, more greasy wife beaters, all that stuff.
Like, what if he's all just in the locker room? Oh, my head. My head, and he looks and he starts seeing other wrestlers turning into pizza. The rabbit tribe, he's hallucinating.
I want to see more backstage vignettes with hallucinations.
Yeah.
But yes, guys, thank you so much for joining us. As always, remember, if you're on iTunes, leave us a comment, download, subscribe, review, rate, 5 stars if you're nasty. If you're on YouTube, leave us a thumbs up, leave us a comment. Find us on Twitter, on Instagram. We're about to tell you our handles. Let's all talk about wrestling, because I can only assume that you love wrestling if you're watching this. And if you don't, I'm even more appreciative of you. But Jimbo in the Booth, where can they find you?
Find me on Twitter at Jimbo in the Booth. Find me on Twitter at Jimbo
two,
in
we'll
the
start
Booth.
The whole show over.
Yes.
Back to one. Show. Guys, we're talking family friends. Check the gate. Moving on.
Yes.
But yes, Jimbo in the Booth. Mark Badonica, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Mark Badonica. But Jimbo, you're about to put a certain show over.
I was going
to
say, check out Xbox 12360. We just had Chael Sonnen.
There you go.
Yeah. Next week, I don't know who we have, but it'll be a good one.
Awesome.
Check it out.
On it.
Awesome. Mark Badonica?
At Mark Badonica, make sure to watch all of our other wrestling programming. We've got Monday Night Raw, Tuesday Night SmackDown, Wednesday Night with NXT, and this one, Lucha Underground. We've also got our Sunday pay-per-view shows, and of course, Xbox 1-360. It's a lot of fun.
Right? Especially the NXT after show, one of my favorites, which, speaking of which, if we can just touch on real quick.
No, we can't.
Myrna.
No, I said we can't.
Myrna.
I said we can't. Ty. That's for the NXT show.
On all forms of social media, at Ty Matthews PMA. Go check me out on the American Grit after show. We had an incredible interview tonight with Natalie. She was just eliminated from the show. Spoiler alert. Sorry. Find me on the...
Championship Wrestling from Hollywood. They just killed it at the Red Carpet Rumble.
Championship Wrestling from Hollywood.
They just killed it at Meltdown Comics, and the Red Carpet Rumble is this Sunday.
Yes. Go check that out. What else? American Ninja Warrior. The American Ninja Warrior after show on Wednesday. Other than that, find me on PlayStation. Let's play some Overwatch. Find me on Xbox. Let's play some Injustice.
You need to get on the Americans after show, because then you'll be on three all, American just,
I'm all
shows.
About America. Guys, until next week, Viva la Lucha!
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Rachel Sam Evans.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.